Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Dan, how do married couples build successful small businesses? Dean Irwin, Raw Medical CEO and CTO, has done just that with his wife. He's here because I and a lot of people want to know how to deal with one of the most difficult parts of having a small business. Dean, welcome to the program.
Hi, well, thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, first, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, Raw Medical.
Well, I'm a scientist engineer type, and I've been working with lasers and medical equipment for, over 35 years now. And Raw Medical Systems is a 16-year-old medical device company that was founded on commercializing excimer laser technology for medical applications. We currently sell our devices to dermatologists for treating stubborn skin diseases like the number two most common skin disorder, psoriasis, vitiligo, which is a pigmentary disorder, and the third most common disease, and atopic dermatitis. We also manufacture the DABRA system for interventional cardiologists to help them remove blockages from within your arteries. That system works very well with balloons and stents to help remove that material that might cause heart attacks or reduced blood flow. That disease, particularly in the peripherals, is responsible for over 250,000 amputations a year, and we hope within the next few years to dramatically change that number.
Wow. My cousin unfortunately passed away from the blockage, and I'm very interested in that. Is that where you insert a device through a vein and move up and then burst or remove the blockage? Is that what we're talking about?
That's it, yes. That's a minimally invasive procedure done in a catheterization laboratory, and they start with they gain access to your arterial system through a stick in the groin. So they puncture the artery in your groin, and from there they use a combination of tools like wires, guide catheters, and things like that to go up and try to remove that blockage or compress it so that it doesn't reduce the blood flow.
Well, now, Dean, having said that, and what we want to talk about is a relatively small business. How long have you and your wife been working together?
Well, we started this business together in 2002, but I first met my wife in 1993, so it's been 25 years now, almost to the month.
Well, congratulations. You know, I've covered many a story of successful businesses where, quite frankly, the married couple have ended up on separate parts of the continent, et cetera. What do you consider the keys to a successful partnership like you have?
Well, our skills are very complementary and non-competitive. So Melissa is an expert at sales and marketing, and I run the more technical aspects of the business as well as the corporate management. So from that standpoint, our skill sets are very complementary, and that's led to our success.
Well, at this point, Dan, I know you have a successful marriage. I know I do. But I'm going to turn it over to you to talk, Dan.
Sure. I want to go back to your technology for just a moment. Do you have the Roto-Rooter technology that cleans out the blockages?
It's not the Roto-Rooter technology. We actually use a laser. It's called an excimer laser, and this is the same type of laser that's used for eye surgery, for LASIK surgery. And, of course, as you know, when you perform this type of surgery on the cornea to reshape your cornea, you certainly don't want to use heat or cause any trauma to the cornea, which would be, you know, quite problematic. You know, boiling or heating your cornea would cause it to turn opaque, so it wouldn't transmit the light. So our laser is just like that laser, the same type, an excimer laser, that goes in and essentially dissolves the plaque. It reduces it to its fundamental chemistry. And when I say that, so it converts the blockage to proteins, lipids, some gases, and some water that are normally found in the bloodstream anyway. So in effect, we essentially dissolve the blockage.
So you don't have a problem of pieces breaking off and perhaps causing clots someplace else?
Well, that's one of the potential advantages of our system. We haven't had any embolism yet with our system, and we've been using it for years now. In fact, we performed the procedure on the first patient back in 2012. So it's been quite some time. And now we have. And now we have performed this procedure over 1,000 times with success. And so because we're essentially dissolving the blockage into molecules and not particles, that we believe helps reduce the potential risk for, you know, downstream particles or pieces breaking off. Those are called emboli. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of why people with this technology is being available now? Why would people still be putting stents into arteries?
Well, actually, we'd like to change that. We don't believe that stenting, particularly in the peripherals and possibly even the coronaries, is of great advantage. Now, sometimes they're needed. There are a number of different kinds of stents, you know, bare metal stents, drug-eluting stents, covered stents. And these all have applications, particularly when the vessel is dissected, either due to plaque buildup or due to the endovascular treatment itself. So oftentimes the vessels become dissected and they need to be, I should say, protected from falling into the flow. So stents are still needed as a bailout or backup, but we'd really like to see less stents being used today. And we're working on getting our message out, getting our device in front of a variety of different endovascular interventionalists, like interventional cardiologists, interventional radiologists, and vascular surgeons, so that they can prevent or at least use fewer stents.
Do you think it's possible, Dean, that there will be a time when the patient will demand what you're doing?
Well, we hope so.
We
hope so. We think that we have a safe, very efficacious procedure that is applicable to a lot of different kinds of plaque and presentations of the plaque. So we really think that we'd like to get the message out to people. Yes, of course, we want them to tell the physicians or ask the physicians if they have the DABRA system. But in addition to that, we'd really like them to seek treatment. We believe that there are over 10 million, possibly as many as 12 million sufferers from peripheral artery disease today. And as I mentioned on the start of the call, that over 250,000 amputations are performed every year because the patients didn't seek treatment promptly. So we'd really like to see these patients who are suffering from either pain in their legs when they walk or even pain when they're resting, to go find a podiatrist or an interventionalist to have that checked out. And there are some very simple ways to do that. And of course, we'd like them to ask the physicians if they're using the DABRA system so that first off, they would have a better chance of a successful treatment, and secondly, possibly even a more durable treatment. That is, it would last longer.
Patient? Is it done as an outpatient or in a hospital?
It is done both. So one of the newer types of endovascular procedures today is done in the outpatient lab, often called an office-based lab. In this way, a patient would come in the morning, be treated for their blockages, and actually go home that night fully treated. We had one patient here in San Diego that was treated by a physician, and he was on the tennis courts 3 days later.
Wow. And so let's just back up a little bit and let's see if we can educate some people. Where can they get a hold of you, or what's your website, or what's the best way to learn about your laser technology?
Well, the best way is our website at www.ramed.com, ramed.com. And that tells not only a little bit about the DABRA system, but also about our dermatological system for treating diseases as well.
So we had on about a month ago. Did you want to say something, Don?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you wanted to break in there. Anyway, Dean, we had a gentleman on who was the founder of a company that invented this new technology that they're using at the Veterans Hospital in Tampa, Florida, to deal with diaper rash for adult incontinence and even for infants, but also dealing with open womb problems for individuals who are suffering from diabetes or have open sores because of steroids or other medications, and their results have been phenomenal. And it's a technology that is hardly known at all, yet it produces phenomenal results. And it sounds like you're in the kind of the same boat of not wanting to expand your market, but the consumer doesn't know. You know, it's interesting. What we don't know can maybe more often than not can save our lives. And so I applaud your desire to want to educate people and consumers about alternatives. And I have a friend who is not well, who has three stents and didn't know about your technology. And it may be too late for him, but it may not be too late for a lot of people if we can help them educate them about what the alternatives is. It seems to me, Dean, that in many cases when we're dealing with our own personal health, we are woefully under educated and don't know what our options are. And
that's really true. You know, several months ago, I wrote a little piece on LinkedIn, on my LinkedIn page, entitled "Education is the Best Medicine." And you're absolutely right. It is true that if we become more educated about our conditions, possible treatment methods, we actually are responsible for our healthcare, and we're the ones who can really control it the most. Physicians obviously can only do so much and learn so much, but there are a whole host of different treatment methods, treatment devices, and regimens that can all affect the outcome of our healthcare. And I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I would ask you this question, sir. And I'm not asking you to criticize or condemn anybody. I'm just asking for a piece of information. If we as medicine consumers don't know about your business and your product, what percentage of the medical society that should be using this device do you think knows about it?
Well, and right now it's a fairly small percentage. So there are, you know, over 10,000 interventionalists here in the United States, over 5,000 hospitals, and And it's really surprising how few interventionalists know of our system. And for that matter, even dermatologists. We've been out into the dermatology arena now for, 15 years. And we still run across dermatologists that haven't used or don't know of our system. So one of the ways that we reach out to physicians is at medical conferences. There are about 20 of these medical conferences every year for dermatology, and another 20 here in the United States for interventional procedures. And we attend, exhibit, and have physicians talk about our system at these conferences. These are where the physicians get their continuing medical education credits, which are required to maintain their medical licenses. And, of course, they seek out these conferences, and we work very hard on physician education. But at the same time, we'd really like to start going more to the consumer and begin to educate the actual patient on what some of their treatment options are and work to keep our system in the front of the mind of the physician. And that's important to us. So I think it's a combination of educating the patients as well as the physicians.
Yeah. Is your procedure covered by Medicare?
It is. It is covered. And so both the dermatological as well as the vascular are covered. And so it's fully reimbursed, and that's another, you know, great part of the procedure.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to. Another question came to mind when you were talking about amputations. Is it possible that your technology? I should explain to you, Dean, that I have a foundation called Songs and Stories for Soldiers, and we deal with veterans in 90 facilities across the United States in PTSD and sleep deprivation, suicide prevention, and other health issues. And I'm curious because the VA says that about 40% of veterans right now are at least pre-diabetic, many of them undiagnosed. But I know that there's about 130,000 amputations a year to deal with diabetes, and the biggest problem is circulation. And I'm wondering whether your technology could help improve circulation in, and I'm a diabetic and so is Don. If your technology could help improve the circulation in diabetes patients.
Many of our patients are diabetic. In fact, diabetes is a great contributor to peripheral artery disease. And oftentimes these arterial buildups are in the form of hard plaque called calcium. And
yes.
these lesions are very difficult to treat. And fortunately, our device is one of those that's very successful. So, yes, in fact, getting that news out to diabetics, making sure that if someone who is suffering with diabetes has a wound on their foot or their leg that's not healing properly, that they seek immediate medical attention. That's a state called critical limb ischemia.
And yeah, I did a presentation 3 weeks ago to a group of Purple Heart warriors, and one gentleman told me that he had he has COPD and he took steroids. And he got a wound on his foot that the only solution that the VA had was to put him in a parabolic chamber?
Hyperbaric.
So many hours. Hyperbaric, excuse me. Thank you. Anyway, so what I would like to do is I would like to, after we finish the show today, I'd like to talk to you and see if we can't work together with our foundation and help some of these issues. So after the show, we'll get a number that I can call you because I think you could help a lot of veterans.
Yes, yes. In fact, our FARO system is in a number of VA hospitals. I think over a dozen here in the United States, and
okay.
We hope to replicate that with our DABRA system as well for cardiovascular and vascular disease.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity there. So let me go back to the mundane a little bit. So 25 years working with your wife, she's got special skills and you have special skills. Do you ever have loggerheads?
Well, you know, obviously with any business and any marriage, there are conflicts that arise, and you know, we work to deal with them straightforward and simple manner, a compassionate manner. So, you know, of course, it's like any other partnership. It's something that has to be worked on and taken care of. But, you know, we find a way to make it work.
Good. So how big is your company now?
So right now we have over 60 people, and we're manufacturing in now in a single location in Carlsbad, California. We currently sell to 26 countries around the world, and are opening up new countries and new facilities all the time. I think by the year end, we'll be over 100 people.
So if I walked into your office today and there's a drawing board, what's on the drawing board for Dean?
Well, I deal with a lot of highly technical issues as well as other things. So, you know, we're always eager to not only improve our existing products and manufacturing methods and processes, but also launching new products into new markets, new territories, and new indications.
Wow, terrific. Thank you. Don, back to you.
Well, you know, you've been covering a lot of ground, and I'd love to talk about exactly how Dean, you and your wife divide up the your responsibilities, and what happens if you have differing opinions on what the company should do.
Well, you know, we are a corporation, so we have a board of directors, and our board of directors consists of four independent members, as well as my wife and myself. So we have a lot of input from on the very high strategic level. And then on the tactical level, we have a series of fantastic managers. You know, Bill, who runs operations, Jeff, our president of the company, Rick, who runs business development, Vicky, who runs regulatory affairs, Kevin, who runs sales, and Dr. Loudenslager, who helps with the research and development. So we really have a tremendous support structure around us to advise us on what the right opinions are. Now, that being said, I'm very fortunate that I'm the chairman of the board, so my vote carries very strongly.
Mostly.
Yeah, but what happens in the kitchen?
Well, I guess it depends on who's cooking. So.
What advice would you give our audience for couples in the same situation?
You know, working with your spouse is not for everybody, but if you choose to do it, I think, you know, you have to be strong, state your convictions, but at the same time, always understand where the other person is and where they're coming from. And I think that will lead to success.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I know my wife's smarter than me, so I usually listen to her. Your website and your company and how people can reach you.
So we're Ra Medical Systems, that's R-A, and our website is www.ramed.com, and we're in Carlsbad, California, 877-635-1800 is our telephone.
How did you come up with your name?
Well, excimer lasers were originally fashioned to treat some of these disorders that were treated with a spectrum of the sunlight. And so many excimer laser companies get their name from the sun, and Ra is the ancient Egyptian god of the sun. We do know from records that the ancient Egyptians treated people with psoriasis and vitiligo using sunlight, and so we chose that name as as the name of the company.
Well, that's good enough. Dan, do you have any more questions?
No, I just want to make sure that before we go, I get a chance to just have off the air just a brief, real quick conversation with Dean. But you know something, Dean, what you just said clicked in my brain. I have a business friend who is a medical doctor. And I was at a conference with him, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, and he was talking about the sun. And he said, the problem in the United States is that we are so paranoid about putting on sunscreen that we're blocking out the healing benefits of sun. So we have to take vitamin D in massive quantities to make up for what we're not being able to get from the sun.
That's true. Yes, the sunlight's actually important for our bodies. We were not made to live without any exposure. In fact, rickets and other diseases are caused by lack of sun exposure.
Right.
So you're right.
Right.
We do need to spend a little bit of time out in the sun every day in order for our skin and the rest of our system to manufacture vitamin D, which is an important part important part of what we need.
Right. Well, Dean, it's been a great pleasure to talk with you. And I said, as soon as we finish off the air, I just wanted to take less than a minute to get some contact information from you.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Our next guest is Kevin Clark. Kevin, tell us about yourself and your efforts, and then we'll go from there.
So my name is Kevin Clark. I am the Vice President of Sales at SignUp. That's spelled S-Y-N-U-P. And I've been in the industry for 13 years helping small businesses in the transition in their marketing from print to digital and helping them get more traffic on Google and search engines and maps and apps.
And how did you get into it?
I stumbled upon a small startup company about 13 years ago and haven't looked back and have had quite a ride working for a few different companies and agencies that, you know, work primarily with small businesses and help them with all of their campaigns on Google and their SEO campaigns, helping their website rank higher to get more traffic, more phone calls, more leads, and that kind of thing.
Well, what's the name of your website, and how do people reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can check out our website. It sounds like sign up, but it's actually spelled SYNUP.com, signup.com, and we are... They can go to our website, they can call us up, they can email us from there. But SignUp is an affordable software that lets small businesses claim, control, and enhance all of their profiles across search engines on Google and Bing and apps and different maps, and even helps them optimize in the future for voice search, which is an up-and-coming way that young people are searching for things these days.
Well, I'm going to ask two questions and turn it over to Dan. Well, my first one is, what are the types of questions you ask a small business that comes to you and says, I'm thinking of using your services? What do you ask them?
Yeah, we would want to understand, you know, how they are showing up today. What the way that, you know, we can't control a consumer's path to purchase a small business's service. So I might use Google. My father might use Bing. People use Yelp or Foursquare or other local sites to look up reviews and look up menus and hours and all that information. We want to help businesses just make sure that all the correct information is out there on the internet being found by consumers, and then help them kind of streamline the process of guaranteeing that it's correct and enhancing it with more information. If there's a storm and they need to close, or they want to highlight a promotion or an offer or a seasonal special, they can do all that quickly and easily across all these many different sites in seconds.
Well, I guess my next question is, why your system rather than some of the others like WordPress, et cetera?
So WordPress is actually how a business would manage their website. It's actually a CMS to manage your website. And it's really important for businesses to have a website in today's world. That's kind of that first building block. But more and more, the trend is that people are on their mobile phones when they're searching and engaging with businesses, and they are not engaging with websites as much. They are engaging more with a Google profile or a profile or a menu site or different places like Bing or Yelp with a small business. So it's important to have a website, but there's actually about 500% more traffic engaging with your profile. So we want to help you optimize those profiles, all of them, quickly and easily, just like you would update your website. So the other option besides using a system like ours would be to manually log in to 50 or 100 different websites one by one and type in, oh, my hours are changing, or I've got a new menu item, or I want to highlight this special, which is repetitive and a waste of time for busy small businesses that would rather focus on serving their customers.
Well, with that, Dan, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. I want to follow up on that, if I could, just a little bit. If I'm using the wrong terms or they don't make sense, please tell me. It would appear that what you are doing is aggregation.
Yes, very, very similar.
All right, so because you're providing for a user the ability to update whatever it is he or she wants to update about his company through one portal, which that when they push the button, you go in and change everything anywhere on the internet that this particular customer has a presence. Is that a fair description?
That is a very fair description. That's exactly what we do, and we do it very fast, in a matter of seconds or minutes on most sites in many times, which in today's world, consumers expect these real-time updates and information from the businesses that they engage with.
So if I have now, in addition to that, one of the things that I have heard talked about is that you can hire companies to move yourself up the food chain on Google on the search engine. And you can move, like I proverbially fight with a guy by the name of Dan Perkins Chevrolet in Connecticut when they do a Google search for Dan Perkins. And sometimes
right.
I'm at the top and sometimes he's at the top. But I've never found a way that I can consistently be at the top because either he spends more money, I know he spends more money than I do. But my point is, isn't it getting, with the proliferation of websites and the expansion of e-commerce, isn't it getting more and more difficult to move up the food chain?
It is getting harder and harder to move up the food chain from what you'd call an SEO perspective to rank in that top spot on Google and the search engines. But what we do is important for two reasons. Number one, it's kind of that first step that any business should take after they have a website that's structured correctly to make sure that the correct information about their name, address, their phone, and all the information is out there, because more consumers are not going back to their websites. And number two, it's critical to have all that information correct, is because these platforms like Google and Apple and Bing and Yelp, they are not sending, they want to keep consumers on their sites. And it used to be 10 blue links on Google. Now there's profiles and answers and knowledge cards, and you can get all the information right from there. So a consumer won't even go to a business's website anymore. They'll just get the information right from there and call, or they might navigate via Google Maps right to a storefront or a restaurant. And it's important to understand that, measure that, and improve that if you're a small business.
So let's just step back and peel a little bit of that onion that you just laid out there. You made the bold statement that more and more people are not going back to websites. They're going to these portals to gain information. And again, this may not be the most appropriate analysis, but it's the one that comes to my brain. In essence, what you're doing, are you doing, in essence, yellowpages.com or whitepages.com?
So not really yellowpages.com. Yellowpages.com is a site in our network. So if you update your information in our system, we would go out and update yellowpages.com with your information. But we also are updating Google and Bing and Yelp and CitySearch and 411.com and Silex and all of these other smaller regional or industry-specific local directories and review sites and apps and maps that different people use. So we wouldn't compare ourselves to them. They would be a member of our network that we update to. We really would consider ourselves sort of the evolution of the old Yellow Pages, as, you know, as businesses 10, 20 years ago consumers would go to the Yellow Pages to find a business. They're now going to all these different directories and sites to find that business. So we want to make sure that the businesses have an enticing profile that helps the consumer make the decision, you know, that, hey, we're open late, or we offer this special, or we have gluten-free options, things that consumers want. If they see it on the first click, they're more likely to engage with a business.
So they're going to go to their profile page with you as opposed to go to the ultimate consumer's website.
So the business would work with us, but then the consumer is using whatever site the consumer wants to use. Most of them are using Google still, but the consumer might be on multiple sites, but the business would update our information with us, and we guarantee that their data is correct everywhere so that consumers have the information they need to make a good decision and call the business.
How long have you been doing this?
So I've been in this industry for about 13 years, working for different agencies and softwares, very similar to this. So it's been, you know, very helpful to small businesses because consumers are not using the Yellow Pages anymore, right? Google is the new Yellow Pages.
Right. And what do you charge for your service?
So our service is based on volume. So it's very affordable for a small business. They can actually do this direct for about $30 a month. And we will track all of the, you know, we will guarantee all the data is correct. Then we also get to see all the phone calls that are generated via these profiles. They can measure the map driving navigations, how many people actually show up to their storefront or to their address via Google Maps in their profile, and how many people are coming back to their website. But then we also work with agencies and enterprise. So, you know, Dan, obviously you coming from Merrill Lynch and the financial services, a company like that, we would give Merrill Lynch corporate the ability to control and edit and maybe promote the latest content that they want to on all of their representatives' profiles, but the individual local rep might also have the ability to adjust and localize their message and talk about their participation in a local fundraiser or event, or we're going to have a stand up on Main Street during these hours.
And if people are interested in talking to you about your service, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can come to our website. It's sign up, again, synup.com, and they can email us or call us direct from there.
Don, back to you.
Well, it's been fascinating. Kevin, would you mind repeating where people can reach you for our audience? And thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. They can check us out at signup.com. That's synup.com. And they can call or email us and check out our software. And it is guaranteed to control your data and measure the results for you. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thank you. It's been fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.
Well, Don, you know, we are both type 2 diabetics, and I'm more recently diagnosed than you were, and my learning curve is accelerating rapidly. But recently I had a discussion with my doctor of the link between diabetes and dementia. Interesting, my doctor pointed out, I knew that in the case of both dementia and diabetes, that blacks and Hispanics have a much higher incidence of dementia than any other race, and didn't think about a connection that the same thing is true of dementia. Blacks and Hispanics are disproportional up to their size percentage have dementia. And the commonality between both diabetes and dementia is the two things that have the greatest impact on these two diseases are diet and exercise. And I've seen firsthand by taking blood sugar counts before I exercise and after I exercise, the dramatic impact that exercise can have on reducing blood sugar. Of course, it also helps to have a low sugar or no sugar diet and watch your carbohydrates. But the thing that's important is that we have the Center for Disease Control estimates, Don, that about 40% of the adult population of the United States is either type 2 or pre-type 2 diabetics in the country. And the type 2 diabetes in young people is exploding, and the problem isn't just in the United States; it's all over the world.
You know, you're absolutely right. As far as the dementia goes, some people have said I already have it, but what the heck? But you know, For many years, I had Dr. Stanley Mirsky as my physician for diabetes. And he wrote one of the best-selling books on diabetes. Unfortunately, he passed. But he always said to all of his patients, the key to it is moderation. He said, whatever you do, do it in moderation. Unfortunately, when you brought up about Hispanics and blacks, their diets are saturated with all of the wrong foods, the fatty oils that they fry in, et cetera, and a lot of their dishes. And when he addressed those audiences, Dr. Mirsky used to say, if you want to prevent diabetes, you're going to have to change your diet. He said, not totally, but somewhat. He said, more importantly, you needed to get out and exercise more. All of the things that you've been talking about. And his book, which went through 13 editions, and the 14th actually came out after he died, discussed that. And, you know, we're on our site and in our promotional efforts, we've been talking about this new book that came that's come out, new dieting. I get life, what I'd like to call lifestyle management plan. It really has made a difference to some of the people we have sent the book to. It's important that people take the first step and acknowledge that they either have diabetes or are prone to it, and they need to decide whether they're going to take control of their lives and find a plan that helps them live longer
and a more productive life. And I think that the on our recalculating.biz website is a link to the diabetes solution kit, which is really six books in one that helps the person who has been diagnosed as a diabetic or recently diagnosed, and they have to look at the things that they need to do in order to extend their life, as you say. And for $20, they can get this book online. They can download it to their smartphone or their computer. I like the idea of downloading it to your smartphone because you can carry the book with you wherever you go, because it's on your smartphone. And as I said, that's you can get a link to that just by going to our recalculating.biz website. And yeah, I think it's the upper left-hand corner. There's a link to the Diabetes Solution Kit. And I think it's important. But, you know, I know we're talking about all the foods that are typically being eaten. And I used to say, even though I haven't been diagnosed that long, people were talking to me about the sugar that I take in. And a lot of people who are concerned about diabetes and concerned about health say it's the sugar sodas and the sugar drinks that are making the difference. And in reality, it's not. It the sugar that has the greatest damage to the pancreas is the carbohydrates that we ingest. And if you look at in the case of the Mexican food with high concentrations of beans, rice, tortillas, all the things that are incredibly high in carbohydrates, they turn to sugar, and so that the blood sugar just races in a diet that is rich in those kinds of ethnic foods. And culturally, it becomes difficult for Hispanics or blacks to really change their diet to a totally different way of eating. There is no cure for diabetes. There is no cure, and there's no cure for dementia. But the idea that we can control our blood sugar by what we eat and the exercise that we go to and do, it's important. And for me, recently being diagnosed, it's important to me now to spend the time to communicate to people, hey, there's a problem here you need to be aware of. And 40% of the adult population, that's an astronomical number of people. And just think what it's doing to the cost of health care. And as much as I hate to think about it, amputation of fingers and toes and feet and hands, if you don't take care of yourself, that's the ramifications of diabetes. So it's a chronic disease that is not curable. You can control your blood sugar through diet and exercise and medication. And my goal, Don, is through diet and exercise, I want to control my blood sugar to the point that I don't need to take medication, and I can manage my diabetes by paying attention to what I eat and getting exercise. And I think that's an important part of the whole treatment process. If I'm healthier and I can get my diabetes under control, I believe I can affect those odds about me getting dementia.
You know, Dan, you're absolutely right. But and someone said to me, why should I spend, with all of the free medical advice around, why should I spend $20 for something like this? And, you know, I have a very good answer. When you pay for something, you're more apt to follow the advice than if you get it free. It's one of the more interesting things. Dr. Mirsky used to say all the pharmaceutical companies gave away the same information that was in his book, but people bought his book because that was the reason it forced them to realize that they had spent money, so they better take the advice. And that's one of the reasons why the book is priced as it is. It's not expensive, but it's designed that there's some skin in the game for the individuals. And all of us who have diabetes should put more than just the skin in their game. They should put both feet inside. Back to you, Dan.
I agree with you totally. I do believe that having written the book on dementia and spent a lot of time with researchers, how much education is important. And now with the diabetes, education is very important. And understanding the amount of carbohydrates that you're taking in are very important. And so you're going to have to change and put a different kind of discipline in your life. And I think that if you have a plan, a roadmap, there's an old Chinese proverb, Don, that says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Well, if you have diabetes, you have to have a plan. You have to know where you're going. What are your goals? And then you've got to develop a plan that allows you to get to the goals that you want. And I set as a goal when I finished the classes that I wanted to reduce my carbohydrate level, which in turn would reduce my sugar, which in turn would have a positive impact on my blood sugar. So I had a discussion with my wife about eating a couple of nights ago, and I said, you know, I really used to like to eat, and today I guess I feel like I'm eating to survive. It's not as much fun as it used to be, but that's just the reality of life with being a diabetic. If I eat all the things that I shouldn't, it's going to impact me. And I think the other thing
Dan, I'd like to interrupt you there because that's discussed in the book. But I will tell you that's an absolute normal occurrence for people when they first get the diagnosis that they are. And I'll give you a great example. I used to put a lot of sugar in my coffee, and I used to love Cokes. But over the years, I cannot now put sugar in my coffee, nor can I drink non-diet sodas, because your body and your mind gets used to the fact that you can't have them. You're right. Right now, you're going through that stage where someone called it the worst withdrawal symptoms. But over time, you're going to discover that your love of the foods are going to take you back. You just have to go adjust it. I'm giving you that advice as one as a man who's dealt with diabetes for over 20 years, I'm sure I've told you my mother and aunts all had diabetes. But the answer is, when you change your diet, it kind of gets to you. But after a while, you kind of get used to it, and more importantly, you sneak these treats every once in a while, and they taste so much better.
Yeah, I guess one thing that a piece of advice that I learned that really shocked me, that I would like to give to our listeners, especially those ones that are diabetic. The non-sugar sweeteners, and I'm not going to mention any of them by name, but I heard from my doctor something that was just appalling to me. She said, go look at the labels of the artificial sweeteners. And what you're going to find is spelled in a totally different way. The main ingredient is in a packet is very, very small. So in order to create the volume that they need to put it in a packet, you know what they put in with the artificial sweetener, Don? Sugar. Sugar. You go to look at any of the artificial sweeteners, including the natural ones. And you look at them, and what you'll see is you'll see dextrose, you'll see corn syrup. Those are all sugars. They're not called sugar. They're called something else. So be real careful. And I don't understand this. Just to get, again, packaging. If you buy a box of sugar-free Jell-O, it has sugar in it. But if you buy, but if you go into the grocery store and you buy the pre-made Jell-O in the plastic cup, no sugar. So you have to become a detective now to begin to read the labels to understand all the things that they can talk about that are sugars, but they don't call sugars. So it's important that we understand that sugar is the ultimate culprit, but it isn't just cane sugar. There are other kinds of sugar and carbohydrates in bread and pasta and in cakes and cookies and pies and tortillas and even in vegetables. Vegetables have carbohydrates. Counting your carbohydrates every day is something you're going to be doing the rest of your life. And I appreciate the encouragement but my desire, and I'll be able to eat things, will get better because, you know, it's not any fun eating, and my wife is really working really hard to try and cook meals that are very sensitive to diabetes. So in closing, I want to, again, encourage our listeners to go to recalculating.biz and look in the upper left-hand corner, I think, for the Diabetic Solution Kit link. Go there, invest $20, and buy something that you'll use probably for the rest of your life. This is Dan Perkins.
And this is Don Mazzella. Thank you for being with us today. From Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.